Okay, welcome to the Sunday show here at Progressive News Network and the Environmental Justice Report. My name is Janine Moloff. I am the producer and host. This week, we are doing an episode of EJR, as I call it, or the Environmental Justice Report. If you saw the advert, I had to basically trim it down a little bit because, ironically, I had too much material to cover in our time slot. So I made the executive decision to cut it down. So you saw the earlier advert, we're dividing this into two shows. So this week, the EJR, Environmental Justice Report, the headline is Polluters, that means corporate polluters, should face criminal sanctions. The ICC, or in other words, the International Criminal Court, weighs in. Now, academics and environmental justice campaigners are, and they've been demanding, they're also reissuing this new demand that the International Criminal Court, just as we call ICC, really begins investigating and seriously prosecuting what they consider to be environmental criminals. Now, this demand would most likely include, no shock here, prosecution of big petroleum regarding its major role in global climate devastation. I'm not going to call it global warming, even though that's more like the scientific term. I think when we use the term global warming, because scientists are trying to be reasonable, it really tends to downplay the serious nature. And I don't think many people respond to that. So I'm going to call it what it is. It's global climate devastation. We are destroying the planet. Now, in response to these demands, the ICC's chief prosecutor, Karim Khan, is developing a policy paper which will guide his office in terms of, quote, accountability, transparency, and predictability, end quote, in this work. Now, this move, as far as I'm concerned, is long overdue. Unfortunately, it's really not enough. The second half of the story is that we find that peaceable protesters and activists are being targeted by the UK government, also the EU, governments in the EU and the US as well, but we're going to focus on activists and protesters targeted by the UK government, and that they're being, as an example, they're being prosecuted for offenses so trivial, seriously, that they'd even make dumb Donnie Trump blush if he's capable of that. So, you know, basically it's things like, you know, dare to participate in what they call a slow march. The slow march is just that. You're walking through the streets as slowly as you possibly can, inconveniencing people, especially rich people. You dare to participate in a slow march, which is harming no one really, and you could be facing prison time in the UK. Seriously. Corporations are also being given the power by the UK government, not the right, but the power to attack citizens daring to use their right to peaceable protest. And this is done under something they call the civil injunction rule. There's really much more in terms of judicial and police abuse. This is going to be an ongoing thing at EJR, all right? Because, again, I'm not a scientist, but I'm focusing not only on the science, but also on the issues of basic justice. When we talk about justice, you're really talking about fundamental fairness. That means, no, the rich and powerful should not automatically get a pass. Okay, so that's really what it is. And then when we're done with that story, we're going to take just a real quick look at the decades-old disinformation campaign sponsored by Big Petroleum, pushing a big lie that global warming is, quote, overblown, a hoax, a Chicken Little panic, okay? It's just going to be a teaser because next week we're going to focus on that heavily. And it's important because you can't build public outcry if the public, for a crime, the public doesn't believe a crime is occurring. It's really that simple. And, you know, there should be truth in advertising. There just should be. Just because it's a private advertising source doesn't mean they should be allowed to get away with lying. It shouldn't. Okay? So that's going to be a teaser for the next show because next week we're going to focus on that disinformation campaign, which really took the cues from Big Tobacco in an earlier era. And we're going to focus on it heavily. But right now we're going to deal with the politicians and the judges that are pushing these unjust laws specifically in the UK, but also parts of the EU. Okay? We're going to also have our deplorables list and, of course, our Jackass of the Week award. So, with no further ado, I'm going to play the intro chant again, and we will go on with the show. Okay, let's move on with the show. Now, I'm going to be moving around. I've got a lot of information here, so if there's a few little, like, lags between my talking and finding the source, that's because I had to rearrange sources. Again, this is a live show, so kind of bear with me. Okay, so the first source we're going to talk about here, it's, again, in the UK. It's from a British newspaper called The Guardian. The Guardian does wonderful journalism, okay? And this is a piece written by Isabella Kaminsky. It was published just, a week or two ago on March 26, 2024. The headline reads, calls for national criminal court to end impunity for environmental crimes. And the subheadline is, campaigners say activities leading to severe environmental harm usually also violate human rights. And it does. You can't separate the two. So I'm going to be reading basically straight from this and then, you know, explaining it in plain terms as best I can. So the ICC, or International Criminal Court, they're finally responding to, you know, several protest groups, several humanitarian groups, really urging them to investigate and prosecute individuals who harm the environment. According to the article, quote, academics, lawyers, and campaigners, just straight from the article here, from around the world have sent expert opinions to the court outlining what they call its current regime of impunity for serious environmental crimes. The comments were made in response to an invitation by the ICC's chief prosecutor, Karim Khan, who announced in February that his office was developing a new policy paper on environmental crimes, end quote. This is great. I think, though, that we need to move far beyond just policy papers. You know, let's say the corporate lawyers can keep this basically tied up in court forever. We need to have enforcement ability. So, my own opinion. Anyway. So Khan explained about the paper, which is going to be published by the end of the year, I'm assuming the end of 24. The idea is that it would help promote what he called, quote, accountability, transparency, and predictability, end quote, of his what the work his office does in this, quote, crucial area, end quote. Okay. The article goes on to say also that this paper, quote, would also include references to the Rome Statute, under which the court operates, as well as environmental treaties, rules of customary international law, and the decisions of other international and national courts, end quote. So the document really references environmental damage not only in relation to harm it does to the environment, but really in relation to war crimes, for instance. The document goes on to say, quote, the only explicit reference to the environment in the statute is in relation to war crimes, and it criminalizes, subquote, intentionally launching an attack in the knowledge that such attack will cause widespread, long-term, and severe damage to the natural environment, end quote. Okay, so you kind of wonder, why is this document really going to spend so much time on environmental damage in relation to war crimes? Well, the ICC was set up just for that, to look into war crimes and other similar types of injustice. So in order to make this work, they've got to link it up to that. Plus, the bottom line very simply is this. Polluters really do think like invading armies, especially corporate polluters. This is my opinion. And you know, when they want somebody to move, you know, there's been a history, and I'm not mentioning any specific corporation, but there's been a history of, you know, certain corporations, you know, damaging an area so much that people feel forced to move out. Again, this is just my opinion. So experts are basically saying the treaty could, quote, be better used to address environmental destruction during conflict as well as in peacetime. Again, this is changing the way we look at it, because if you're going to look at polluters as criminals, I'm not talking about the little guy who lives next door who forgot to do the recycling, okay? I'm not talking about somebody who still drives a gas car because they can't afford an electric vehicle. I'm not talking about individuals like that. I'm talking about big corporate polluters and the other corporations that bankroll big petroleum, all right? So this article from The Guardian goes on to explain that, quote, contributions to the consultation highlight the many legal developments that have arisen since the Rome Statute was established in 2002, such as the growing recognition of the human right to a healthy environment, increasing criminalization of ecocide, and toughening due diligence requirements for corporations, end quote. For those of you that are unsure what it means, ecocide is the crime of attempting or really killing the planet. That's what it is. And toughening the due diligence requirements for corporations is long overdue. The Guardian piece goes on to also explain that, quote, in a joint comment, lawyers and scientists at the University of London's Institute of Commonwealth Studies, the Oxford Sustainable Law Program, and the International Nuremberg Principal Academy note that human activities leading to severe environmental harm usually also violate human rights. This, they argue, potentially qualifies as a crime such as genocide, crimes against humanity, or war crimes, end quote. This is really important. This could also ensure that the average person and the poor aren't made to pay for these crimes with higher prices for necessities, because that's what corporate raiders and their attorneys do. If they get fined for something, they just shove the cost of, you know, basically any sort of reparation onto the consumer, onto the average person. They shouldn't be allowed to do that, okay? The court should be able to levy fines against these corporate polluters, and yes, against corporate law firms that knowingly, notice what I'm saying, that knowingly lie about their clients or lie for their clients. Again, the key word is knowingly. All right? Enough's enough. Okay? So that's my opinion. Now, the experts explain, okay, goes on to say, again, the Guardian piece. I lost my place. Hold on. Where did I go? So here we go. Quote, the experts say charges could be leveled against politicians, corporate bosses, and leaders of organized criminal gangs directly responsible for acts that destroy the environment, such as widespread deforestation, chemical spills, or oil pollution. It goes on, end quote. It goes on to say, quote, that others who contribute to such activities or do not do enough to stop them could also be implicated. Examples given include military commanders and the bosses of fossil fuel and mining companies. Goes on to say also, quote, such a tool could also be used to prosecute company directors for climate damage, they argue, end quote. And again, there's more documentation from other Guardian articles. This is huge, okay? This is huge because majority of climate damage being committed isn't coming from average people like you or me. It's not because I turn on my air conditioner on a 95-degree day. And it's not because, I have a 14-year-old car, can't afford to buy an electric vehicle. It's not only the very rich that have private jets they don't need, but also big petroleum that knows what's going on. They know the science. They've hidden it. And that's, we've got other documentation on that, but also other corporations, big banks, politicians that basically gone along with this massive, huge set of massive big lie that is, you know, contributing to the destruction of this planet. OK, Okay, there is a quote here. Okay, quote, for instance, it is alleged that chief executives overseeing certain fossil fuel companies have systematically encouraged unsustainable practices in extracting fossil fuels, despite being aware for at least the past 50 years of the detrimental impact of resulting greenhouse gas emissions. Okay, now, end quote. This article goes on to explain that not just the UK, but here in the US, okay, let me make sure I've got this turned on, right? I'm using my phone, okay. It also goes on to say that here in the US, there is also a legal theory considered kind of radical, where fossil fuel companies, quote, could be tried for homicide for climate-related deaths, and that's gaining interest from experts and public officials. I'm going to say that again. My voice gave out a little, sorry. I'm going to read exactly as it's written here in this article. Let me get a little drink here first. Okay, it's better. Quote, in the United States, a radical legal theory in which fossil fuel companies could be tried for homicide for climate-related deaths is gaining interest from experts and public officials, end quote. And again, that is from The Guardian also, and Public Citizen is one of the major groups really pushing this idea. And we will be talking about it again. We won't have time today, but it's a critical importance. I mean, think about it. How many cancer deaths, like lung cancer deaths, are attributable, especially of non-smokers, to air pollution? How many cancer deaths of all different types are attributable to poisons being dumped in our air and water and our food without our knowledge or consent? But the companies doing it do know. That's not just homicide, that's premeditated murder, really premeditated potential genocide when you think about it, okay? So the article goes on to say, quote, in its submission to the prosecutor's office, the World Council of Churches noted that the ICC was established to end impunity for the most serious crimes, end quote. So this is not just a bunch of, you know, those of you that might think, well, it's a bunch of radical kids. This is the World Council of Churches, all right? Let's get a little real here. And what the World Council of Churches had to say, among other things, is, quote, addressing the impunity of those propagating deliberate disinformation on global warming is an essential step to stopping the ongoing expansion of fossil fuels, which is threatening humanity and the living planet, end quote. Okay? This is big, people. The article mentions a human rights barrister, in other words, a human rights lawyer. In the UK, they're called barristers, somebody named Michael Mansfield. Who also made a personal submission and said that minus any sort of criminal sanction, quote, the gradual elimination of our carbon footprint will become a forlorn hope, end quote. There's another group that's mentioned in the article named Stop Ecocide International. I want to mention that on EJR, it's probably been about a year or so, we did a show on ecocide a while back, but we did. I hope my voice holds out today. So this is a group called Stop Ecocide International, and they are pushing for a change to the ICC's Rome Statute to include the crime of ecocide. And it was encouraged by the consultation, but they also really maintain that really the treaty, the way it's written now, is just too weak to effectively address all the range of threats that are facing really the planet. And I understand that it does need to be beefed up. Again, I know people that may be listening, and they'll go, well, you don't want us to go back to the Ice Age and have no electricity. I'm not saying that at all. And, you know, again, the corporate policy of when they lose a case, they just transfer the cost of their loss to the consumer. That needs to be cut off. That's one of the ways that these statutes and treaties need to be toughened up. So the corporation has to pay, not the consumer. Okay? We need to make sure that's the case. So keep in mind, though, the International Criminal Court is over 20 years old, and most of the cases that where they rule as genocide or war are basically war crimes, which is why it's so important now that they're looking at environmental devastation in the through the lens of a war crime. It may not be an official nation state basically conducting the war against another nation state, it's a corporate organization usually, but it's still a war crime. Okay. Now, the ICC is a UN-backed court. It's based in The Hague, and they've been criticized for a long time because they just kind of shy away from investigating any sort of big environmental crimes. When they were asked, when the ICC was asked if it ever opened an examination or began some sort of prosecution with any sort of significant environmental impact, the ICC, quote, pointed to its 2008 charge of then-Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir with genocide, end quote. Now, they pointed out that, quote, the case highlighted the connection between genocide and the deliberate destruction of the environment by systematically destroying properties, vegetation, and water sources, and repeatedly destroying, polluting, or poisoning communal wells or other communal water sources, end quote. This is really important because what they accused Bashir al-Assad's, Omar al-Bashir's regime happens a lot in wartime, okay? You know, you want to, if you're waging a war, you want to make sure that your enemy's homes are destroyed, their farms are destroyed, they don't have access to water. It's the same thing to pretend that war is also not an environmental crime is absurd. Of course it is. Now, this piece goes on to say that, quote, since 2019, the ICC has been sent at least 5 formal complaints alleging serious crimes taking place in the Brazilian Amazon. Although it began a, quote, preliminary evaluation of jurisdiction into one of those in late 2020, it has yet to respond to the others. Okay? This is important. They're just too slow. The article goes on to say, quote, nor has the court responded to a coalition of young people in the UK and New Zealand who asked it in 2022 to open an investigation into a multinational oil company. In its submission to the court, the NGO Climate Council said the court's reluctance to prosecute environmental crimes was a missed opportunity, noting that, quote, environmental destruction is very often the driver, context or consequence of mass crimes committed against civilian populations, crimes that in some cases amount to crimes against humanity, end quote. Okay, and it goes on to end that basically the ICC explained they don't comment on individual complaints and that they're looking for feedback on their policy paper from, you know, the usual broad range of stakeholders, yada, 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 affected communities, so on and so forth. Let's face it. The ICC and the Rome Statute just aren't strong enough, especially against corporate criminals. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, so now we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our second source. So give me a second. Okay, and we're back. So now we're going to talk about, again, these all come from The Guardian. I just lucked out, basically. Next thing we're going to do, we just talked about how the International Criminal Court is finally looking into environmental crimes as not only ecocide, but crimes against humanity and war crimes. Now, the second source, we're going to talk about some examples of how the UK is cracking down on peaceable climate protesters. And it's pretty outrageous, really. I find it ironic that the new king claimed, you know, he's always seen himself as an environmentalist. And yes, the king doesn't exactly run the government, but And I know Charles has been ill, and I hope he goes. I hope he does better. But you can't call yourself an environmentalist if you're remaining silent to a government that is not only attacking, that's not only endorsing and helping to sponsor ecocide, but is cracking down on peaceable protest. You just can't. Okay. So this is a piece written by Sandra LaVille, and it's a couple months old. It was published at the end of January of 2024. The headline is Five Examples of the UK's Crackdown on Climate Protesters. As UN expert says, UK's actions are chilling and regressive. We look at some of the cases. Okay, so this is basically, this article took place after the UN Special Rapporteur on Environmental Defenders basically claimed that the UK's crackdown on climate protesters is, quote, chilling, regressive, and a restriction on fundamental freedoms, is according to The Guardian. The UN Special Rapporteur on Environmental Defenders is a man named Michael Forth. Okay, and this is as documented again by The Guardian. You know, he's seriously concerned about this. So let's look at some of the cases. They're pretty pathetic. I mean, how do I put this? They're so petty, they are truly Trumpian in nature. That's how horrible it is. And you know, when you have politicians and judges and lawyers and law firms that are cracking down just on speech and on peaceful protests, that's a pretty damning indictment of them. Okay, if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't need to crack down on this. My own opinion. So let's look at the cases. And again, I'm reading straight from this. We have here, case number one, quote, defendants on trial for peaceful protests were forbidden from mentioning the words climate change, fuel poverty, or the civil rights movement when they were on trial for public nuisance. Several people, including a social worker, David Nixon, and the Dorset counselor, Giovanni Lewis, were jailed for contempt of court when they defied the restrictions to explain their motivations for taking action to the jury, end quote. Okay, they already have speech police there. Make no mistake about it. They, public nuisance. Since when is public nuisance really a crime? It's basically things like jaywalking, okay? Maybe sticking your tongue out at a cop. It's that stupid. Public nuisance, unless it's a serious problem, shouldn't be considered a crime. It's nonsense. But they couldn't even mention those. They went to jail for contempt of court for trying to defend themselves on a garbage charge to start with. Think about that. The next one, quote, a retired social worker, Trudy Warner, is being prosecuted for contempt of court, get this, for holding up a sign outside of court defending the right of juries to decide a case on their conscience. Let me read that one again, okay? Quote, a retired social worker, Trudy Warner, is being prosecuted for contempt of court for holding up a sign outside of court defending the right of juries to decide a case on their conscience. The decision to prosecute was made by then Solicitor General Michael Tomlinson, KC, a minister and the Conservative MP for Mid-Dorset and North Pole, end quote. In the U.S., we call it jury nullification, okay, where basically the prosecutor says it doesn't matter if you think what the defendant did is morally right, even if you think the law is unjust, he still broke the law, you have to disregard, you know, your own sense of morality. Except the jury nullification is not illegal, nor should it be. All right? Again, this woman didn't even do jury nullification. All she did was hold up a sign. Okay? When authorities go to this level to silence people, they know they're in the wrong. They're scared. They can't have anybody criticizing at all. Okay? Here's another one. Quote, Stephen Gingell, 57, was jailed for 6 months after pleading guilty to taking part in a peaceful, slow march protest on a London road. The sentence is thought to be the first jailing under the Public Order Act 2023, which includes an offense of, quote, interference with key national infrastructure, end quote. Dingell is appealing. Now, when you have a charge such as interference with key national infrastructure, I can see somebody who's trying to, you know, destroy the waterworks or something, okay? But a slow march, exactly what they just were walking very slowly to protest. That's it. Again, when you have to jail people for such ludicrous ideas because you want to silence them, something very wrong is going on. Okay? Here's another one, quote, and we're going to talk about this issue before, something called civil injunctions, which is really horrible, okay? Quote, civil injunctions have been issued to hundreds of individuals. National Highways has injunctions covering 4,300 miles of motorways and major A roads. Anyone who breaches this injunction faces imprisonment and or an unlimited fine. Any corporation can apply for a civil injunction, and an individual can be punished without a trial. Okay? So, and this is really, we're going to be talking a bit about civil injunction today. We're going to probably do an entire program on that at another time as well, because this is, you know, there's another article here, and it's called Punishment Without Trial. Okay? But you don't have the right to do that. I don't have the right to do that. Only corporations. Think about what I'm saying here. There's nothing legitimate about any of this. And the last thing here, quote, Marcus Decker and Morgan Trolin made history as the peaceful protesters who have received the longest jail sentences in modern history in the UK when they were sentenced to 2 years and 7 months and 3 years, respectively, for public nuisance. They climbed the Queen Elizabeth II Bridge over the Dartford Crossing and unveiled a banner for Just Stop Oil in 2022. There is nothing legitimate about any of this. It is, I'm going to say a bad word. It's bullshit. Okay? But notice what's happening here. The politicians and the judges are basically doing what corporate wants them to do. In my opinion, this is the politicians in the UK, as well as maybe some of the judges, basically bought and paid for like any other cheap and common whore. That's it. Okay? Now, we're going to move on to our next source. Give me a second, folks. And we're back. All righty. So now let's kind of recap a little. First thing we talked about was how the ICC, the International Criminal Court, is moving to consider ecocide and other environmental crimes as basically war crimes. Okay? May not be a war that's being committed by a nation state, but it is still a war. It's just the actors committing it and instigating it, in this instance, aren't necessarily nation states, but actual corporate actors who in some instances have more resources and more money than some nation states. We have to consider this. All right? Then we talked about how in the UK, to give you an example, that I give you several examples of ludicrous new laws, which basically threaten to and do imprison people for common acts of free speech, peaceable assembly, peaceable protest. Again, if you are a legitimate government, you don't need to do these things. Okay? All right, source number three, again, The Guardian. Like I said, I found a bunch of good stuff. So now we're going to examine a pattern of political corruption that's thinly veiled as rule of law that's employed by the UK and the EU and in some instances the USA and globally to protect the moneyed interests of, you know, big petroleum, okay? In the UK, The Guardian reports, okay? This is a piece, again, by Sandra Laville, The headline is Court Ruling Erodes Climate Activists' Ability to Defend Themselves as the Planet Heats Up. This deals with what's called the consent defense. Now, the consent defense in the UK and parts of the EU, mainly the UK, allows defendants on trial for criminal damage to argue they believe the owner of a targeted property would have consented if they had known the circumstances. Okay, and I know it sounds a little convoluted. We're going to get into it in a minute. Okay, so the Court of Appeals removed the consent defense. It took just a matter of minutes. This happened a couple weeks ago, March 19th, 2024. And this is really cracking down on not only right to protest, but the right to a reasonable defense in England and Wales. Okay. You know, just a little aside here. I wouldn't wish cancer on my worst enemy. So, you know, I feel bad that King Charles has cancer. I feel bad that, you know, Princess Kate has cancer as well. Of course, they get the best medical care that money can buy. Something that a lot of their subjects may not always get. But spend so much time in the mainstream media about that, we're not talking about really important things. These are personal things and their business. Let these people have their privacy, okay? This is important, though, and it's barely got any traction, okay? This is about just a right to a defense. So the decision was taken by the Court of Appeal to, quote, find in favor of the Attorney General, the Conservative government's premier legal officer, has removed a defense for climate protesters that has been available in the books since 1971, end quote. Quote, note that we're going to talk now about the consent defense and what that is. It's a little tricky here. So according to this, according to The Guardian, the consent defense, quote, allowed defendants on trial for criminal damage to, again, as I read before, to argue they honestly believe the owner of the property targeted would have consented if they had known of the damage and its circumstances, okay, end quote. And in the past year, like 23, 24, climate protesters apparently used this defense pretty successfully in what they call Crown Court jury trials. Quote, juries having heard the evidence acquitted 9 people who targeted the London HQ of HSBC, London headquarters of HSBC Bank, several individuals who daub paint on the headquarters of the Conservatives, Labor, Liberal Democrats, and Greens, and individuals protesting for Palestine action, end quote. So apparently protesters in the UK and Wales have successfully used this consent defense, and last year juries acquitted 9 people. And you know, what did these 9 people do? Well, they targeted the London headquarters of HSBC Bank, and several of them basically splash paint on various headquarters, including the headquarters of Conservatives, Labor, Liberal Democrats, and Greens, and protesting for Palestine action. Hardly a serious crime. It's a nuisance, okay? And it really should be something that it just be a civil penalty. But that's not what happened here. Quote, after the string of not guilty verdicts, Victoria Prentice, the Attorney General, stepped in saying she wanted clarity on the law as guidance for future cases involving involving climate and environmental protesters as she lodged an appeal on a point of law to the Court of Appeal. So the Attorney General there, Victoria Prentice, she wanted clarity. I'm sure she had clarity. In other words, she just appealed it. And the result of her efforts is that last month, three appeal court judges found in her favor, ruling that the defense, which is contained in the Criminal Damage Act 1971, is inadmissible for those who argue that the facts or effects of the climate crisis are a circumstance that can amount to lawful, end quote. So, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is significant here. Climate protesters pointed out that, you know, there's scientific consensus across the globe about the climate crisis and that we have to act now. And, you know, apparently the lady chief, according to this article, quote, the lady chief justice of England and Wales, somebody named Sue Carr, said, quote, motivations, beliefs, political or philosophical views were, quote, too remote from the damage to provide a lawful excuse defense, end quote. And climate protesters are pointing out that the scientific consensus about the global crisis, the urgency to act, that these are neither beliefs nor philosophical views, but, quote, hard facts, okay? The article goes on to say, quote, but that held no truck in the Court of Appeal where a narrow point of law was analyzed in a day-long hearing by bewigged judges in the absence of any context on the pressing nature of global heating, end quote. Notice what they're really saying here. They, you know, the Attorney General and the judges who I'm sure, you know, basically maybe they received contributions, I don't know, but the Attorney General in the UK as well as these judges looked at this narrow part of the law and they analyzed it without any context regarding the nature of global climate devastation. Think about that. That would be like claiming in a murder case, say, let's say somebody was 90 years old and they were murdered, and let's claim the murder case. Well, they were 90. They were probably, it's like claiming they would probably die soon anyway, so it's not really a murder. That's kind of the way they've taken it out of context. The article goes on to say, quote, the decision removes what is possibly the final defense available to those who take to the streets, daub paint on buildings, or sit peacefully in the road in an attempt to alert us all to the need for countries to take more urgent action to cut emissions and limit global heating, end quote. Quote, it arguably marks another significant success for political interference with the operation of the law, end quote. And, you know, the week before, we didn't have an Easter show. The week before, we talked about the AMOC, you know, the current that really brings warm air into Northern and Western Europe, and that it's in danger of collapse. If it collapses, which would include the UK, it could become, it would be like Arctic conditions. Okay, this is not something remote. It's real. And yet these politicians and these judges are just, you know, going along with what are corporate wants, it seems. And there's earlier interventions that criminalize protest rights in the EU as well. So, for instance, there was an earlier intervention, according to this article, by Prentice's predecessor in the Attorney General office, a woman named Suella Braverman. And Braverman basically removed the right to protest under the European Convention on Human Rights as a defense to criminal damage. Okay, and that's as documented by, you know, The Guardian and the Colston 4 article. It goes on to say, quote, Braverman turned to the Court of Appeal on a point of law after conservative MPs were angered over the acquittal by a jury of four people for toppling a statue of the slave trader Edward Colston in Bristol. Okay. It goes on to say, quote, that decision in 2022 has spun across courts in England, resulting in judges imposing their own restrictions on scores of defendants, including on those charged not just with criminal damage, which was at the center of the Braverman challenge, but those charged with less serious public order offenses, end quote. This is serious, okay? The article goes on to say, quote, at a group of cases at the Inner London Crown Court, defendants on trial for public nuisance were forbidden from mentioning the words climate change, fuel poverty, or referring to the civil rights movement in the U.S. during the trials. Some brave souls refused to comply with what Liberty, the human rights group, said were deeply concerning courtroom restrictions and were jailed for contempt of court as a result, end quote. So when you look at all this, again, the UN Special Rapporteur for Environmental Defenders, Michael Force, you know, he's warned that this excessive crackdown on the right to protest, especially on climate protesters in England and Wales specifically, is kind of a chilling effect on fundamental freedoms. You know, he included the fact that there are draconian new laws, quote, excessive restrictions on courtroom evidence. Here, I'm going to just read this, quote, looking at all of this, Michael Force, the UN Special Rapporteur for Environmental Defenders, has been unequivocal. He warned that the excessive crackdown on climate protesters in England and Wales involving draconian new laws, excessive restrictions on courtroom evidence, and the use of civil injunctions was having a chilling effect on fundamental freedoms. Poor spoke before the latest restrictions on what an individual can stand up and say in evidence in a criminal courtroom came through. Okay, it was only in the context of the already highly restrictive rules on the defenses available to climate protesters that defendants started to use the consent defense contained in the 1971 Act, and many juries, when they heard the evidence of people such as C, chose to find these men and women not guilty of criminal damage. Goes on to say, quote, but from now on, jurors were no longer be afforded the right to hear a climate protester argue that they had lawful excuse because, in the words of the independent panel on climate change, rising greenhouse gas emissions are pushing the world to the brink of irrevocable damage, and the world is just not acting quickly enough. Jurors will not be allowed to hear that any longer in the UK. You know, you only pass those and push those kind of draconian laws, those kind of illegitimate laws, when you know you're in the wrong. You know, if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't need to pass these kind of laws. These laws are worthy, I would say not only worthy of Trump, they're worthy of Hitler. Okay, this is a lot like, you know, Hitler's early moves, and it's got to stop. And why? Because it's big money. Okay, so right now, I'm going to go to my next source here. Okay, and we're back. Hopefully my voice will hold out. We'll be getting a little difficult here. So, going backtracking a little bit, we first talked about how the International Criminal Court is looking to consider environmental crimes as war crimes and looking to prosecute. And I can only assume that means prosecuting corporate offenders. We then moved in that into some of the absurd laws that were passed, for instance, in the UK and Wales, that make criminals out of people just using free speech and peaceable protest rights. Because again, big corporations don't like it, big banks don't like it, just absurd things, all in the name of public nuisance. You know, if you ever notice, these laws are very vague, the terms. What constitutes a public nuisance? Well, think about it for a minute. Who is a somebody? One person's nuisance could be another person's, you know, music to their ears. I don't know, but again, it's so broadly named and so vaguely defined that it can be anything that a corporation doesn't like, and anything that a compliant prosecutor wants, I guess, to get those campaign contributions. I mean, again, this is about not just corruption of a political process in the United States, but globally, you know, as corporations have way too much power. Make no mistake about it. Then we talked about how the consent defense was not only cut out, but juries no longer in the UK have a right to even hear this stuff, and how they're limiting evidence even in criminal trials. It's a total abuse of the process. So now, this is an article here by The Guardian's contributor, George Monbiot. It's an opinion piece. It's about 9 months old. It was published in June of 23. The headline is Punishment Without Trial, Britain's Latest Weapon in the War Against Dissent. And it's pretty accurate, actually. So this is the one about civil injunctions, and they're really focusing on climate activists, but it could be other people too. So I'm just going to read straight from this again. Quote, apparently it's not enough for the police to be given powers to shut down any protest they choose. It's not enough for peaceful protesters to face 10 years in prison for seeking to defend the living planet or to be deprived of the right to explain their actions to a jury. Now they are also being pursued through another means altogether, the civil courts. And the penalties imposed in these cases, with or without trial, again, with or without trial, legal aid or presumption of innocence can be much greater. I'm going to read that last sentence again. The penalties imposed in these cases, with or without trial, legal aid, or presumption of innocence can be much greater, end quote. So again, I'm reading straight from this piece. Quote, the law in England and Wales permits corporations and government bodies to create their own system of punishment. The tool it grants them is a simple one with massive, complex, and ever-ramifying consequences. It's called the civil injunction. And it goes on to say, quote, a corporation might apply to a court for an interim injunction. In doing so, get this, it doesn't need to prove any claims it makes, end quote. Again, in the UK, in the land that originated Magna Carta, listen to what Mondio just wrote. Quote, a corporation might apply to a court for an interim injunction. In doing so, it doesn't need to prove any claims it makes, end quote. This is absolute disgrace. There's no guesswork here. So apparently with a civil injunction, corporation whatever, we'll just call it from this point, we'll just call it Corporation Jackass, okay? So Corporation Jackass, for instance, can name anyone, any person that might, first of all, it can name any person that's protested against it, but it can also name anyone, get this, quote, it feels inclined to name. What the hell does that mean? It feels inclined to name, so it doesn't have to have any proof. Keep in mind, they don't need any proof. And then these people are served papers. They can try and contest the injunction. There's no legal assistance here, okay? No legal aid. So what does that really mean here? Well, let's go to it. This one is, okay, so this is something from Friends of the Earth. So, oh boy, I'm going to have to go to this one another time, okay? Apparently no legal aid, you get no help. So if you don't have, if you're not an attorney or a barrister yourself, if you don't have knowledge of the law, you still have to defend yourself against these big corporations that basically have deep pockets to afford the best corporate law firms out there. Now, sometimes this final injunction is granted by a court in a few days. Sometimes it can take years. Okay. So these injunctions can be used to prevent any protest by people they name, quote, at or around company property. So, and it goes on to say, quote, if you break one, the corporation can apply for an order of committal, end quote. Again, no jury, no legal aid is available under that one. If the court finds you in breach, I'm reading straight from this, you can be deemed guilty of contempt, facing up to 2 years in prison, an unlimited fine and potential confiscation of your assets. Let me read that again. So these injunctions, quote, can be used to prevent any protest by the people they name at or around company property. If you break one, the corporation can apply for an order of committal. Okay? Again, no jury, legal aid is available on that instance, that limited instance. It goes on to say, quote, if the court finds you in breach, you can be deemed guilty of contempt, facing up to 2 years in prison, an unlimited fine, and potential confiscation of your assets. It goes on to say, quote, this is on top of any penalties incurred under criminal law for the same action. In other words, you can face double jeopardy, two prosecutions for the same offense. Okay? End quote. But if you think that's the end of it, it isn't. This piece goes on to explain that there's a company owned by the government called National Highways LTD, and they're using a new strategy, quote, passing on the cost of obtaining its injunctions to the people named in them. goes on to say, quote, once a company has obtained a cost order from the court, it can force the people it names to pay the fees charged by its lawyers. So it goes on to say, yes, quote, even if you have, it goes on further, okay? Quote, even if you have adhered to the terms of the injunction, okay, let me step back for a minute. So let's say you got the injunction and you said you can't protest by this corporation. And you go, okay, I'm not going to protest. You can still be charged just for being named. Goes on to say, quote, even if you have adhered to the terms of the injunction, you are charged simply for being named. You cannot pay, bailiffs might come to your home and confiscate your property, end quote. So I'm going to drop the F-bomb here, okay? What the fuck does this have to do with actual justice? This is just basically a blank check, corporate lawyers. They can do anything, okay? It gets worse, though. This article goes on to explain. It goes on to say, quote, some of the people it names, you know, this injunction, in other words, also feature on injunctions taken out by other organizations, either because as dedicated campaigners, they've protested in several places, or, get this, quote, because they're the kind of people who might, end quote. What the hell does that mean? The kind of people who might? How is this legitimate law? Seriously. Who decides who's the kind of people who might break this bogus piece of garbage law? Okay? So Transport for London is a company. They've taken out injunctions against campaigners with Just Stop Oil and Insulate Britain. Again, this is what they're pulling. The article goes on to explain that, you know, if a corporation wants to just take you or your group, your organization out, there's nothing to stop them. There's no rule that says they can't bombard you with injunction after injunction after injunction. That's it. Okay. Now, human rights barrister, a man named Adam Wagner, explained that by comparison, quote, while in criminal prosecutions, people of limited means might have to pay only a small proportion of the prosecution's costs, in these cases, there's no such protection. The cost orders can be huge, he says. They can hang over people's lives for years or even forever, stop them from getting mortgages, loans, etc. It's pernicious, end quote. Now, this is just, according to this article by Monbiot, just one of three new injunction tactics that are being used against activist communities, especially climate activists. Now, let me ask this question here. If, let's say, you're part of a corporate law firm and you keep claiming that big petroleum's not hurting the planet at all, okay, then why do you need these kind of garbage laws? Seriously. Not an accusation, it's a question. Okay? You only have these kind of laws, in my opinion, when you want to basically silence everybody. Period. You know, as these laws in the UK, you may as well be in Putin's Russia or Hitler's Germany because it's a similar type tactic. I mean, maybe they go through the motions of being in a court. So it's a bit better than Putin's Russia, for instance. But the intent is just as criminal. Make no mistake about it. And criminal on the part of the government and on the part of these big corporations and on the part of corporate law firms because they know better. Okay? But there's three new injunction tactics. This is just one of them. Now, another injunction tactic is against what they call, quote, persons unknown, which means everybody, okay? And listen to how vague this all sounds. Persons unknown. Okay, if the persons are unknown, how can you go after them then? And the article goes on to explain that, quote, no one can contest such orders without having themselves named as a defendant and facing massive potential costs. Oil companies, among others, are using these injunctions to stop all protests at their premises. This person's unknown instrument is being challenged before the Supreme Court by Friends of the Earth and others, and they expect a ruling soon. Okay? So, think about that. This person's unknown. You can't even contest the accusation unless you want to be named as a defendant and incur those costs. There's nothing legitimate about this. The third tactic on the civil injunction garbage is a power, according to this, in the UK's Public Order Act, which enables the government to, quote, bring civil proceedings against protesters. Okay, and they go on to say, double jeopardy is now baked into the law. It goes on to say, quote, these measures are a blatant injustice, a parallel legal system operating without the defenses available in criminal law that can inflict ruinous and open-ended costs. They amount to a system of private fines to be levied at will and out of the blue against political opponents, end quote. This is what we're dealing with here. And, you know, we have so much information here. I'm looking at our time. I don't want to go too, I don't know how long my voice is going to hold out. So it's not just the UK, though. Globally, when I say the rich, I mean corporations, massive corporate law firms, billionaires. They're not only destroying the planet in their insane quest for more profit. Okay, make no mistake about it. They're addicts. They're just addicted to money, power, and status. But they're destroying true rule of law. And that true rule of law includes the right of the masses to peaceably protest and also the right to a fair and impartial trial, which, you know, corporate forces and their attorneys have brutally crushed. And there's a piece here from Amnesty. And it's basically, it's with September 2023. It shows an interactive map revealing state-sanctioned violence against protesters worldwide. And you can find it under Protect the Protest. You know, Amnesty has claimed that protest is a right, not a privilege. And so Patrick Wilkin, Amnesty International's researcher on military security and policing issues, said the following, quote, peaceful protest is a right, not a privilege, and one that states have a duty to respect, protect, and facilitate. However, the right to protest is increasingly under threat, with authorities using unlawful force against people in over 85 countries, from abusive use of force, arbitrary arrest and detention, to torture and other ill treatment, enforced disappearances, and state-sanctioned killing. This map sheds light on the heavy repression suffered by protesters around the world, and it's terrifying. End quote. Okay? He goes on to say, quote, for far too long, authorities across the world have launched a blistering attack on those who peacefully exercise their right to protest, and they have destroyed lives in the process. In Iran, the authorities have unlawfully killed hundreds and arbitrarily detained tens of thousands of people, including children, to crush successive waves of nationwide protests. Countless protesters have also been subjected to torture and other ill treatment, including sexual violence in detention, including those who were sentenced to death after sham, grossly unfair trials, and subsequently arbitrarily executed. In China, it is impossible to protest peacefully without facing harassment and prosecution, and a huge number of activists are jailed for speaking out. The list of activists and countries under threat keeps growing. This repression must stop now. So this interactive digital map is really, according to Amnesty, the first of its kind. It shows all sorts of abuses across the globe, including the use of what they call less lethal weapons. And it goes on to say, quote, despite the widespread misuse of less lethal weapons, there is no global control over the production, trade, and use of these weapons. It's shocking. Again, this is Patrick Wilkin again. This map highlights the need for an international treaty to regulate the trade and policing equipment so less lethal weapons don't end up in the hands of abusive police forces. So it's not just here in the United States, okay? So, anyway, you can look this up yourself. Just Google Amnesty International's Protect the Protest Global Campaign. You can also Google the Human Rights Measurement Initiative that tracks human rights progress in countries and has a lot of data. It also mentions that in January 2023, quote, more than 30 civil society organizations have joined forces to call for an international treaty to control, to control the trade in tools of torture used to repress protesters and abuse detainees around the world, end quote. So now we're going to go on to